you've got your Bible, I'd like to invite you to turn with it to the book of Matthew chapter 7 this morning. Or if you have a tablet or a phone that you're going to be looking on, just go ahead and scroll that way. Matthew is the first book of the New Testament. And if you are joining us today and you haven't been with us, we are wrapping up over the next couple of weeks a sermon series on the Sermon on the Mount. I believe the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus spoke was the greatest sermon that was ever preached. And we've been unpacking since July what Jesus laid out for us in this message and in this sermon. So if you are jumping in with us today, whether here or online, don't worry. You can always go back and read what you've missed and see the words of Christ. This morning, we're going to be looking in Matthew chapter 7 at a few verses together. And Jesus says this starting in verse 15. He says, "Be on your guard against the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravaging wolves. You will recognize them by their fruit. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? In the same way, every good tree produces good fruit, but a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, neither can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that doesn't produce good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire, so you will recognize them, the false teachers, by their fruit." Let's pray together. Father, your call for vigilance in our lives is astounding. Lord, you have called us out of darkness into light to be children of light, to be children of your kingdom, but the world around us swirls with lies and deception and wicked and evil, and it lures us and tempts us. And even as we try to walk close to you, we find others that in your name proclaim that which was evil and that which is wicked and lead us astray. And so, Lord, we must come back to your word, to your teaching, to your truth to find the way forward. And so, Lord, we ask you today that through your word, you would cause us to be vigilant, that you would draw us near to your throne, that you would fill us with your truth, that we would be able to see clearly, one, who you've called us to be, two, the world you've called us to reach, and three, the pitfalls to avoid in walking with you. Lord, we love you, and we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I really hope that y'all had a great Thanksgiving. Many of you probably traveled to see family or had family come and travel to see you. I had one of the greatest treats for Thanksgiving here this last couple of days. I went to my parents' house up in North Carolina, and my mom made an apple pie. Man, I love when my mom makes apple pies. Now, as a kid, I learned all the secrets, man, the flour, the salt, the sugar, the cinnamon, and you mix all those cut, peeled apples together. And I love just eating the apples straight out of the mix before they're even baked. But then what mom always does, she dumps all that, puts all the apples in the pie crust, and then she takes all that leftover flour and sugar and dumps it right on top. Man, this is health food if you've ever had it in your life. Man, you put a big old scoop of ice cream on that warm apple pie, oh, good grief. I know pumpkin pie is great, and I know all pecan pie, all these other pies are great, but man, apple pie, that's where it's at. You know, apples are grown here in America, and they're grown worldwide. They're one of the few fruits that can be grown on all but Antarctica in the world, all continents but Antarctica. Did you know that there are grown in the United States of America over 2,400 varieties of apple? Some of you didn't even know there were that many types of apple. Did you know that worldwide there are over 7,500 varieties, types, breeds, genotypes, whatever word you want to use, species, varieties of apples that are grown? That's a lot. And you thought, man, I just went to Publix and just got myself an apple. That's all I needed. Some of you over the last couple of months have been going up to Ellijay and Blue Ridge and hitting apple country up there. Now, you talk to my mom, she's going to tell you Hendersonville, North Carolina, where she grew up, where she lives, that's true apple country. But apples, man, they're so good. They're so versatile. You can use them for about anything, right? All I had was a cereal bar for breakfast this morning. So pardon me while I eat an apple while we're standing up here this morning. They're good. I don't know what kind of apple this is, but it's sweet. You can use this thing for jelly. You can use it for applesauce. You can use it for apple slices. You can use an apple for about anything you want to use it for, really. Some people make apple soap, believe it or not.
apple flavored candles. You can do all kinds of stuff with an apple. Apples are so versatile. You ever had a bad apple? Kind of ruins apples for you for a little while. You bite into one and it just doesn't have the texture or the flavor. Man, it looks right. You pick it up and you're saying, man, that's a good apple right there. That's foam. That's not even a real apple. You could have fooled somebody with it, right? For where you were sitting, you thought I had four apples sitting up here. You didn't think that I'd gone to Hobby Lobby and bought a fake apple, did you? That's all the more reason why Jesus brings us in this passage of Scripture to what we are to do as his followers. If you've not been with us, what we've been looking at in the Sermon on the Mount is this call to a deeper righteousness, a righteousness that surpasses that of the scribes and the Pharisees, the holiest of the holy, so they thought. They acted all this great and holy way, but inside, Jesus continues through the Gospels to call them whitewashed tombs, those that have the outside of the cup washed, but the inside is filthy and dirty, those that would twist the law, twist the teaching, twist the word of God to suit their own desires. And Jesus says in this passage of Scripture that we are to watch out for these people. Why? Because we are called to vigilance. Jesus says in this passage of Scripture, be on your guard against false teachers. Vigilance is necessary for you and me to grow spiritually. Vigilance is the necessary step for our spiritual growth. Look at the strong command that Jesus makes here. Your translation may say, watch out. Your translation may say, keep on guard. Your translation may say, look carefully. What Jesus commands here should go off as a warning light. He says, be on your guard against false teachers. He's just shared with us about how we look at the teaching that comes down and how we look at what the Word of God says and what actually the Word of God means. He's taught us how it shifts our religious practice focus in giving to the poor and tithing and worship. He's talked to us about prayer. He's talked to us about the way we, like the world, want to rely on our stuff and not on the Savior. And he's even brought us in the last couple of weeks in chapter 7 as we've gotten started. He's gotten into how we seek his face to rely solely on him. Now, we live in the 21st century of America where if you decided, hey, you know what? I don't want to go to church today. Let me just flip the TV on. I'm sure I can find a preacher there. Let me Google preachers and find sermons to listen to. You might be surprised to find out that not everybody is as advertised. What perpetuates in American Christianity is this laziness towards seeking out what is actually true and what is actually false, what is misleading. So this is why last week when we talked about being countercultural, going the path of the least resistance is the way we just naturally tend to go. But Jesus pulls us into something that's a little bit more difficult, and he says, be on your guard against false teachers. Be on your guard against false prophets. Why? This is a level of vigilance. You would expect the American military to watch out for spies. You would expect that the Marine Corps, that the Navy, that the Air Force, that the Army, that these men and women that have been trained to defend our nation would be able to sniff out those that actually seek to harm our well-being. Jesus calls us as his followers to do the same because of the power of God, the glory of God, and who we are made new in him. He says, be on guard. Watch out for these false teachers. It's necessary for your spiritual growth. Let me give you some reasons why it's necessary. Notice what Jesus says. Jesus says, watch out against these false teachers who come into you with sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravaging wolves. Being vigilant provides protection. Being vigilant provides protection. Notice how he qualifies these false teachers. He says, man, they look right. They look good. Man, they put on the best Sunday smile. They've got their hair parted nice. They've got their coat and their tie on. But inwardly, it says that they are ravaging wolves. Now, growing up, I used to love watching Looney Tunes. And I find it quite the travesty that Looney Tunes only comes on Boomerang, and you've got to up your cable package in order to pay for Boomerang so you can watch it. One of the great blessings of going to my parents' house this weekend was I got to watch Looney Tunes with my son. And one of my favorite Looney Tunes came on, had Wile E. Coyote. Now, not Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner. I love Wile E. Coyote and Roadrunner. But Wile E. Coyote and Sam the Sheepdog. Sam the Sheepdog comes and he punches the clock. Some of you are laughing because you know exactly which Looney Tunes I'm talking about. Sam the Sheepdog and Wile E. Coyote, they come in and they punch the time clock and they go to work. Sam the Sheepdog goes and he sits down on his perch watching over the sheep that are down below. And Wile E. Coyote's job from 8 to 5 that day is to try to get a sheep. So one time he actually dresses himself up as a sheep. Maybe you don't want to recognize this, but there are people parading all around trying to cloak themselves in some sort of false righteousness, some sort of false hope that are seeking nothing but their own good, care nothing about you, care nothing about your well-being, care nothing about you knowing the glory of God in Christ Jesus, only seek to line their own pockets. They are ravaging wolves. And we drink their lies as though it is a water fountain flowing with Hawaiian punch. We drink it in. We absorb it. We take it. And Jesus says, these false teachers, they're trying to manipulate and keep you under their thumb because they are ravaging wolves. You know what happens when a wolf gets a hold of a sheep flock? You're not going to be wearing that wool sweater. Shred it, rip it apart. Oh, it hurts me to watch and talk with people that have been sucked into some of the lies of prosperity gospel teaching, of Jehovah's Witness teaching, of Mormon teaching, that have been brought into the lies of these false teachers that proclaim some sort of godliness, some sort of Christ in their lone lives, but inside they're ravaging wolves. They are wolves in sheep's clothing, and we have welcomed them in. Do you know what? I've got three kids. I've got a 6-year-old, a 3-year-old, and a 5-month-old. I am not going to let a known child molester come and sit on my living room sofa when my children are there. I'm not. I will know who comes into my house, and I will know because my job is to protect my children, to put them in the place where they can see the power of God in their lives in a way that demonstrates the love and compassion of God. They might see Dad reach out to that man or to that woman in a place that protects them. But I'm not going to usher them right into the interior of my circle. Jesus says, watch out for these wolves in sheep's clothing. Protection is key. Vigilance also develops discernment. Notice what he says. He says, you will recognize them by their fruit. Now, somebody that's a connoisseur of apples will be able to look up here at this little display and say, that one's fake. That one's real. That one's been eaten off of. And that one's got a bruise or two. They'll be able to look at this and say, well, this one right here is a red delicious. This one right here is a gold delicious. And if they know what they're talking about, they'll be able to tell me what this one is. Because they have taken time to learn the character traits of apples. They can smell them. They can taste them. They can feel them. They can look at them. They can look at the leaves and how they grow on that particular apple tree because they have been able to discern the difference between apples. Here's all I can tell you. Granny Smith's make the best pies, and Honeycrisp tastes the best just to eat by themselves. Those are opinions on my part, and that's as far as discerning as I can go with apples. But Jesus says there is a recognition that your vigilance, when you put yourself under the command to keep yourself on guard, to watch out for these false teachers, you will develop the discernment to know what is true, what is real, what is false, what is not. Do you know how the federal agents understand and are able to identify counterfeit bills? They study real money. They will spend their time taking a real, if I had any money in my pocket, I'd pull it out. But, you know, I don't have any money in my pocket, so I can't because I've got three kids. So there's no money left in the pocket to pull out for anybody to see. But if I had one, you'd see it's just under 6 inches wide. It's you can picture a dollar bill. It's about 2 inches this way. Oh, that ragweed paper. The feel, even an old bill that's been crumpled up and run through the ATM and in this store and that store and probably was printed here and has been all over the world. Even that, a true person that understands counterfeit money knows exactly how it feels. They've taken time to study it. They don't study counterfeit bills. They don't look at the markings on counterfeit bills. They don't try to discern what's false by staring at what's false. They understand what's true by staring at what's true, and thereby they can see the light of what's false. If you are not spending more than Sunday morning in an 11 o'clock worship service under the teaching of the Word of God, you are going to set yourself up for falling for false teaching. Life in Christ is more than church on Sunday morning. Life in Christ is a daily walk, a daily devotion, a daily submission to the teaching of the Word of God, the reading of the Word of God, the prayer under the Word of God, looking at God face to face as He's revealed Himself in Christ Jesus through the Scripture and knowing exactly what is true. Because you know what? Martin Lloyd-Jones said it greatly in 1961 in his book on the Sermon on the Mount when he said this: a false teacher is not so much false by what they do say, but by what they don't say. Oh, let me tell you all the good things that'll draw you in just a little bit, but forget to tell you the fine print, the details. The destruction of prosperity gospel teaching in the church in America is telling us all the great things that we can have now without pointing us to the hell to pay later and what Christ Jesus actually did. The true teaching of the Word of God is that sin is real, hell is real, Christ died to save you from your sin. My pastor from home told me one time, he preached in this church about 15, 16 years ago, right before Oscar resigned, or Dr. Cope, for those of you that were here back then, before he resigned. But he told me one time, he said, listen, I need you to understand something about church. I said, okay, tell me something about church. He said this, stuck with me. I was 19 years old when he told me this. If you're in a church and you do not hear about sin or hell more than twice a year, you are probably sitting under false teaching. The gospel is for the salvation of your soul from hell, from sin. The power of Christ to redeem and to overcome, to make what was wrong right under the authority of God. And I stand before you to declare that that is truth, because the Word of God says so. See, we learn discernment by studying what's true, by studying, and that discernment comes from our watching out, seeking out what is true, and being on guard. But the third thing we learn about vigilance in this passage is that vigilance harvests health. Vigilance harvests health. Look at what Jesus goes on to say. Do you take grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? See, this kind of comes back to the little discernment a little bit. If you're going to go pick grapes and you reach in, you get pricked by something, that's not a grape bush, grapevine. You found something else and it might kill you, so you probably want to stay away from it. If you know it's blackberries are going to prick you a little bit. Raspberries are going to prick you a little bit. But if you're looking for grapes and you reach in and it sticks your finger, you're not at a grapevine. But he goes on and says, but look at this. Every good tree produces good fruit. Every good tree produces good fruit, but every bad tree, he says, produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, neither can a bad tree produce good fruit. This is why Jesus pulls the fruit analogy in here. The terminology that he uses here literally says that a bad tree is not capable in and of itself to produce anything good. You're not going to make a good tasting apple pie out of a rotten apple. You're just not. And if you tell me that you put a rotten apple in the apple pie, I'm not going to eat it. You ever make banana pudding? You got to eat it that day, right? What happens to the bananas the day after they've been cut? They don't look like bananas anymore. They just don't. If you tell me you made a banana pudding and it looks like it's been beat up and run over on the outside, I know what you put on the inside wasn't good either. Anybody that grows tomato probably has heard something called end rot. End rot happens when the blossom at the end of the tomato plant doesn't fall off and the whole bottom of the tomato rots off. You think, well, I cut that part off and I ate the good part. No, you're sick. If the tree is bad, it produces bad fruit. But the gospel comes and it takes that bad tree, it transplants it from bad soil into the good soil, the fertile soil of the Word of God. And out of that good tree comes good fruit, comes good motivation, and you find what's in the fruit the way that it is cut. That's why I love apples. See, a healthy apple, this one's real, by the way. Yes, I have one of these up here. That's not a good apple. Let's try the one I ate off of. A good apple, when you cut it across, has that star shape in the core, right? Those are called carpels. Those are the seed pockets. A healthy apple tree produces apples that have 5 carpels. An unhealthy tree produces empty carpels. See how that red delicious apple has that nice nasty spot on it? I know some of you are up in the balcony, can't hardly see. There's a clear star pattern in the center of this apple, which means it came from a good tree. This one over here, the carpel is empty, meaning it's seedless, meaning that it did not produce because it came from a bad tree. The good thing about this apple over here that came from a good tree is that it has carpels full of seeds. The more seeds, the healthier the tree. The healthier the tree, the more seeds. Seeds go and they are planted and they reproduce and they reproduce and they reproduce. If you're walking in Christ Jesus and you are of a healthy tree because you are rooted in the gospel, you will produce seeds that can be planted and planted and planted, and you will reproduce and you will reproduce and you will reproduce. You will make disciples. You will make followers of Christ and you will point them, and that is healthy. Yes, right, hallelujah. The gospel of Jesus Christ and the mission of the church is for us to produce healthy followers of Christ according to what he has already planted in us. The word of God doesn't come back null and void. We just empty out the seeds. And so we start looking at things and we start asking ourselves, are we good fruit or are we bad fruit? On the outside, we look great, but once we get cut, that's when life really gets real, right? Wait till something cuts you. You're going to find out what you're made of. All the mama bears in the room said, you cut one of my children, you're going to find out really what I'm made of. Sometimes on the outside, oh, we look great. This is that wolf in sheep's clothing again. Sometimes on the outside, we look really good. We look really delicious. I mean, this apple's called a golden delicious, but, you know, somebody asked me earlier if we were going to have like fruit salad or something earlier, but, you know, just depends on what kind of fruit you want to eat. But you keep cutting. And eventually you start finding all kind of nasty, gross corrosion. You know, if it's like the old joke goes, what's worse than finding a worm in your apple? Finding half a worm? Apples aren't onions, but when you cut into them, you find out what's truly in there. You find bruising, you find marks, you find foam. You find everything except for what the apple was designed to have, which was a healthy message, a healthy mechanism of reproducing itself. Jesus says, you will know these false teachers by looking at the fruit that they produce. But we have to be on guard to see the health, to make sure that we are consistently submitting ourselves to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I know you'll say, man, I was saved, man. I can remember the day I was baptized. The water was cold that day because the heater was broken, or I got baptized in the creek, or maybe if you're from another part of the country, the creek, wherever you were baptized, the water wasn't the way that you wanted. It wasn't bath water. You got baptized in a lake, a creek, a pool, right here in this church. And if that's all you're going on, then you probably have empty seed pockets. Because you weren't baptized to emptiness, you were baptized into the fullness of life in Christ Jesus. And Jesus gave us himself so that we would have life. And he said in John 10:10, more abundant. And he gave us himself that we could go and likewise make disciples. And so Jesus says in this passage of scripture, you got to watch out. You got to look and see what kind of Kool-Aid you've been drinking. You've got to go back and watch Jesus, man, this is the thing I love about Jesus. He comes to you straight from the hip, man. He's not beating around the bush. He's not sugarcoating anything. He's letting you know that this world is wicked tough and cares nothing about your growth in Christ Jesus. To the contrary, this world around you wants you to not grow in Christ Jesus because it would rather you look more like it than the Lord Jesus Christ, who is its maker. And he says in this passage of scripture, a good tree can't produce bad fruit. This good tree right here gave some, that's a good apple too. Is this you? Because the health that is required comes from our vigilant walk with Christ Jesus. And then he says that vigilance severs sterility. Look at what he says. Every tree that doesn't produce good fruit is cut down. See, you might have been thinking that the warning came at the beginning when he said, be on guard. That's the command. The command is to be on guard. The warning happens now. The warning happens now. Every tree that doesn't produce good fruit is cut down. It's severed. Many of you know my dad raises cattle. He's a beef cattle guy. He did research for the University of Georgia for 30 some odd years. Here was his job. What do you feed a cow to make the beef taste the best? And if you like beef, thank my dad. He had a good job. I like steak. I like good tasting steak. I don't like bad tasting steak. Dad gave me some bad tasting steak not too long ago. See, Dad raises bulls, and he sends bulls to these bull tests where they're grown and produced, and they do all these weird tests and all these things on them to make sure that they're going to be producing great progeny, great calves, and be good bulls to send out to the market and everything. But some bulls come up sterile. And when it comes up sterile, it's not really good for anything except for sending to the meat processor. Well, the problem with sending a bull that's almost just a little over a year old that's been fed through the testing process is that the meat doesn't taste very good. As a matter of fact, you'd probably be better to pull your shoe off and chew on it than try to eat that steak. Not even a crock pot roast is tender. It's cut off. It's removed because it wasn't doing what it was designed to do. Jesus said, that tree out there in your yard, pecan tree, peach tree, apple tree, if it's not producing, you're just going to cut it down and throw it to the fire. Every tree that doesn't produce good fruit is cut off. See, if you want a good, healthy, vigilant life as an apple farmer, you know that every good tree still has some fruitless limbs that grow. They're called shoots. And so every year in about the middle of March, apple farmers will send people out into their apple orchard to start doing a process called pruning. And that pruning goes, it cuts off right at the base any of these shoot limbs that will never produce something that will have fruit on it. Because that which is fruitless will be a drain to that which could be fruitful. The difference between an apple that produces a full carpel of seeds and an apple that doesn't oftentimes has to do with the pruning process. So you have to ask yourself right now, what kind of tree am I? Am I a tree that is willfully be allowing God himself through the teaching of the word of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit and the gospel of Christ to come and prune me, to remove the fruitless, to remove that which is sterile in my life that I might be able to bring glory and honor to him? Or am I walking in fruitlessness? See, I can't answer that question for you from up here. We can come and sit down and you can talk to me for a little while and we can figure some things out going on in your life and whether you're fruitless or not. But chances are by right now, the Holy Spirit of God has already put his finger deep into your heart and shown you, yes, this is an area of fruitlessness. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to let the tree die? Or are you going to be redeemed by the tree on which Christ Jesus died for you?